Our scripture text this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John. We would look at the first chapter, verses 9 through 14. Don't be alarmed by so many verses. We will, for the time's sake today, I would read for your hearing the verse that my argument is centered around, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, and my key verse is verse 14, which says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And our theme this morning is the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. You may be seated. The Word became flesh. You know, we have the power to become. And when we look at things in life, we don't see the potential. Sometimes if you run into an acorn and you put it in your hand, you may see in the natural. You may see something that a squirrel is looking for to have a meal. Or you may see something that somebody is waiting to step on to mess up the sidewalk. But if you really look closer at the true potential, that acorn planted and germinated can become a big oak tree. Not only can it become a big oak tree, but it can become a grove of trees. But not only can it become that, but it can become the lumber for the new construction site. I'm just talking about the potential. But you see, when they looked at the baby Jesus, some people saw the baby of Mary and Joseph. Those that had the eyes that could see beyond that, like Simeon, they saw the Savior. And then it says that, and when the angels told them, say, "You're going to find us. Go and you're going. It's going to be a sign." And you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, born in a barn. First bed was a feeding trough of an animal. But that's going to be the sign of the Savior. And that's going to be a Savior that anybody anywhere in this world can identify with. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When we look at our lesson text this morning, when we look at the scripture that we're looking at, you have to go back to the first verse where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So you have to remember when you look at this scripture this morning, that God decided, because he had sent so many prophets and they hadn't done the thing, but his Son, with his premortal glory, hallelujah, church, his Son had his premortal glory, and his Son decided to take off, just like I'm taking this off, take off his premortal glory and come down from heaven. You see, that's a trip that he made. He took off his premortal glory. See, I want you to understand this scripture this morning, because there is a long ways from Jesus sitting in heaven with his premortal glory all around him. Come from heaven, put on flesh, the lowest thing that you could ever do. He went from heaven to earth, from earth to the cross, from the cross back to heaven. That's a tough journey. That's a tough journey, and I want you to understand that journey this morning. But there's a purpose in Jesus leaving heaven, stepping out of his premortal glory, coming back here. But you see, I want you to understand something about this. Like this handkerchief, I didn't give it away. I laid it down. So you see, I put it down, but I can take it back up when I get ready. Am I right about it? So Jesus decided to take off his premortal glory and to put it down. And when the time got right, when he had ascended, the time got right, he could put it back on and go back up there and sit at the right hand of the Father. But I want you to know that the Word, see, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You see, he was already God. He was already God. I want you to understand that this morning. He was already God. And this morning, we will look at 3 points in my sermon. 4 points, I'm sorry. The first one is the light of the world, verse 9. And the next one is the world rejects its creator. And the third one is the potential of the believer. And that comes from verse 12 through verse 13. And my last point is the glory of Christ, verse 14. My first point, the light of the world, that's verse 9. I didn't give you the verse. And my second point is the world rejects its creator. That is verse 10 through 11. I know you got that. Today I would teach that the purpose of Jesus coming to the world was to dispel darkness and offer the believer the right to become a child of God. That is what's wrapped up in this purpose. So we see here now in this chapter of John that the word already exists. When God say, let us make man. The word was already with God. The word was already in heaven. But now God decided to, he realized that if we go back to Genesis, that man had gotten lost. And God said, now I need to get my family back. So I'm going to put this whole book together to get my family back. I want my family back. So God decided this Bible is a missionary journey. After our foreparents, Adam and Eve, was put out the garden, and they was put out for the right reason. That was grace that put them out to God. Now, you can call me during the week, and I can break that down. That's another sermon. I don't have time to talk about that right now. But it was grace that put them out to God. But he said, I want to get my family back, and I'm going to go through 42 generations to get my family back. But God said, there's a problem. I have given man dominion over the world. But in order for me to go back, I need a body. Because, see, man has the power. In order for me to get that power back, I have to get in a body. And I have to go down to the earth. And I have to tabernacle there in a body. So I need a body. I need to go down there in the flesh. But I want you to understand that when the word became flesh, the essence of God combined, hallelujah, church, the essence of God combined with the flesh of humanity. He was still as much God as he could be when he came. He was still as much flesh because he came through the womb of a 14-year-old girl by the name of Mary. But he was fully human and he was fully divine. So he said, I'm going to come down there, Shannon, and I'm going to set up a model for you to understand that everything that will be done will be fully human and will be fully divine. The Bible is a fully human and a fully divine book because it was written by human, but it was divine. It was inspired by divine men. I want you to understand that you are three-fourths divinity, hallelujah, because you got the Holy Spirit in you. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, you got the power of God in you. I want you to understand that. So you are a being that's human and divine. Are you all out there? Have you gone to sleep? So Jesus said, I got the solution to my lost family problem. And everything that I'm going to do, see, when you focus on something, everything you do is looking at what you're focused on. So now he goes on here in this 14th chapter of John, and he says, starting at that ninth verse, and he says, and that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He said, listen, and see, John is writing this, and John is telling y'all that he wasn't the light, but he said, Christ is coming. And he is the true light. Now, let me explain what he's saying here about the true light. Because he's not talking about the natural light. He's not talking about the light that comes from heaven. He's not talking about the light that comes from angels. He's talking about the light that's going to come from God. He said, going to come through Jesus. See, the light that shines through Jesus is going to shine on every man. And you're going to see it. And he's going to illuminate every man. Because the light that's coming from Jesus is going to be the light of the world. It's going to be the light that's going to shine in darkness. And the light that's going to overcome all the darkness in the world. And it's going to overcome the darkness that's in your life when you allow the light of God to come in. And he said, and the light every man that cometh into the world. Now see, this is what John is talking about, because see, John is also trying to dispel this whole thing about the Jews thinking that they got it because they had the law. But he said, this is for every man. This is for the Gentile. This is for the lowly person. This is for the unclean. This is for the outcast. This light that I'm shining is for everyone. Why do you think we could go down to PGM last Sunday and preach to 700 people that's been let down, disappointed? Go down there and let them know that you can have this light. You can let this light shine on you. You may be homeless and destitute, but I got a message for you. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the one thing you're going to get here at People's Community Church, you're going to get the gospel. See, some people, some preachers stand up and say, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're going to burn in hell. Well, I don't know all about that, but I do know one thing. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the good news. Folk need to hear some good news. And that's what's going to draw a lost world, is the good news of the gospel. Is there's a light that's going to shine within you. But this light that I'm talking about is coming from God. God said in Genesis, let there be light. And there was light. But the sun came out 3 verses later. Hallelujah. Are you out there with me, church? Do you know what light that I'm talking about? He said, let there be light. I want some light to shine in your house. See, when the light started shining in my house, I rolled my wet bar out to the street, and I got rid of it. I just had a party in my house, and the folks came and put cigarettes down on my carpet. I told my wife, if those are the kind of friends we got, I don't want no more. He said, but the light that shine in my house, I let all that kind of stuff go. You see, I fell out of love with the world, and I fell in love with God. When the light of God shines in you, you're going to be a different person. I want you to understand that you're going to look different. You're going to act different. And he said, and he was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. That's a sad situation. That's a sad situation. For you to be getting water out of a stream, and you don't understand the source from which the water comes from. That's sad. That's a sad situation for you to be in. To God had prepared his people through Moses and the prophets. But when Jesus came in the world, they were so caught up, tied up. I candidated for a few churches before I started this church. But what had happened in some churches, y'all deacon preachers, I didn't pay attention. They hadn't had a pastor in a long time. And the deacons had been in charge. So the deacons got in charge, and they felt like they were so in charge, they didn't want to receive what God sent them. They didn't want to give up the power. See, the church is to receive the pastor. And I'm going to tell you, 3 churches that I candidated for, and a year later, they called me back and asked me, did I want to be the pastor? I said, well, you had to wonder. But you didn't receive me when God sent you. You got somebody else that's got your church in a mess. And now you want to call me back because God sent me. Hallelujah, church! Are you out there? One lady stood out there in my parking lot, and she told me, she said, one thing we messed up on, we didn't make you the pastor. I said, I know that's right. I said, but I can't come now. I said, I'm on the wall and I can't get down. Hallelujah, church, are you out there? You have to be ready to receive what God sends you. Open up your understanding. Get away from your agenda. When you're a child of God, you fall out of the way. You don't have an agenda. See me, I'm a slave. I'm a bond slave. And when you're a bond slave, you ain't got no agenda. Your agenda comes from the master. I wish y'all could. I better go on. And then it says, and he came unto his own. And his own received him not. You know, God decided to take a desert people. A desert people. And make them into a great nation. And God told them, say, listen, I'm making you a great people because I want the world to see how mighty your God is. And the world will come and worship your God because you are so mighty. But they got lifted up. Head got big. You know, sometimes when y'all quite know this, you can pat somebody on the back and the head swell up. Boop, boop, boop. Me and my brother had a toy when we was growing up. Just pat it in the back and it's like a pump. Whoop, whoop, whoop. The head get big. So that's what happened to Israel. They thought they were the only people. They thought they were the only one with the law. They thought they were the ones that were circumcised. Paul came in Romans and messed all of that up. The real Jews, the real ones who follow Abraham, is the one that had the faith of Abraham. Abraham had the faith before the law was created 430 years. Are you out there? Don't get caught up in the caught up. Now we look at God sent him, but they received him not. Matter of fact, they put him on a tree. That's the most saddest thing in the Bible, that God sent his son to his own people, and they received him not. And the saddest part in the contemporary scene today, we do have some Messianic Jews, but the saddest thing in the world today is that the Christian church is primarily Gentile. God sent his own, and his own received him not. Hallelujah. And then it says, but as many as received him, in them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. But he wanted to contrast this. John said, listen, I know there's some that's not going to receive him, but there's some that will. And I want you to know those that will. Now, I want you to pay attention, because this is a very powerful verse here, this 12th verse where it says, but as many as receive him, this is what I want you to hear, to them gave he power. Now, some of your Bibles may say right. To them he gave power to become the sons of God. He gave them power. He gave them the right. Now, pay attention, because this is your choice here. He gave you the power, but you don't have to use it. And some of you don't use it. But he gave you the right. He gave you the power, and he gave you the right to become the children of God. He gave that to you, but you have a right to still remain a child. See, if you're not, there's only two masters in this world. That's the devil and God. Either you're a slave to the devil or you're a slave to God. There's no in between. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care what a good speaker you are. I don't care about your gospel. I don't care how you bowl good. I just wanted you to know, if you are not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. And if you're a child of the devil, the wages of sin is death. But you're on your way to death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The fruit of the law is death. I want you to understand that. Now, you don't have to stand up at the Christmas table and tell your unsaved relatives, but you need to tell them some kind of way. But the gospel, but don't tell them about death until you tell them about the good news. The good news is that he has given you the power. Now, all you have to do, and he's given you the right, he's given you the power, he's given you the right to become children of God. Children. You know, Jesus as your big brother, hallelujah. God as your heavenly father, Elohim, Jehovah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Salam. I'm talking about Almighty God as your, I don't care what kind of family you come from. I don't care if you could have been raised by old mama lion in the jungle, but I just want you to know, God has the power to adopt you. Hallelujah. It's one thing about adopting a child. See, when you go to court with an adoption, the judge tells you that the biological parent has released their rights, because they give them 72 hours. And if you come, you have to keep the child in foster care for 6 months. And after you go to court and the judge say, we now are taking the parent's right. You are now the parent. You have adopted that child. That child takes your name. And he say, the biological parent, hallelujah, cannot even see the child without talking to you. Are you out there with me? Hallelujah. The devil can't touch you unless he gets permission from God. But God say, the devil didn't ask for you, virgin. He asked for you. He want to sift your wheat. But Jesus said, I prayed for you that you won't fail not. And virgin, he said, when you get the faith, strengthen the brother. Are you all out there? Are you with me? I better move on. And he says, which were born not of the blood. He said, these folks are not born through blood. This is not about no inheritance. See, the Jews was all caught up in that inheritance and trying to say they were the only ones, and they were Jews, and you had to be a Jew in order to be saved. He said, this thing ain't about no blood. It's not about the will of the flesh. It's not about that. He says, nor is it about the will of man. And I tell you, there's only one will. There's man's will and there's God's will. It's not about the will of the man, the will of God. Let me just make something plain here. Your existence is about the will of God. God has a purpose for your life. And I want you to know that your daddy may have had you in mind when he conceived you, but God had you in mind when you were conceived. Are you out there? I mean, your daddy had your mama in mind. I'm sorry. Are y'all with me now? Are y'all with me? Your daddy didn't have you in mind when you were conceived. Your daddy had your mama in mind. If y'all don't understand that, call me during the week. Text me. What's some of all that stuff has to do? Text me and Twitter me or something. Instagram me. If you don't understand what I'm talking about. So he says, not by the will of man, but it's by the will of God. You have a purpose in life. God has a purpose for your life. And God has equipped you. He's given you spiritual gifts. And he's also given you the fruit of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts are different from the fruit. Spiritual gifts is what you use for other people. God has gifted me to be a spiritual counselor. That's a gift from God. I can't use it to counsel myself. I have to use it to counsel other people. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. I know it's a gift from God because a mentally ill man got loose when I was 10 years old, and they would always come get me to talk to Buddy because they had just left Buddy out of the insane house, and nobody in the neighborhood could talk to Buddy, but they go find a 10-year-old boy and calm Buddy down. Gift. I would always tell him I was going to take him by my house to see my sisters. Calm him down. Are y'all with me? God is good, isn't he? But then he said, but this thing is of God. This creation thing is of God. And then it says in my verse, and I'm going to be closing, and he says, and the word, hallelujah, the same word that was in the beginning, the same word that we read about in verse 1, where it says, and in the beginning was the word, in the very beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God said, the word, I'm going to send the word now. I'm going to send the word. See, when you get the word of God, you got to cross the word of God in order for you to be saved. He said, with the word of God, it's the word that we preach. He said, with the word, I'm sending the word. He said, the word became flesh. Truly God, truly human. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now pay attention to that word dwelt, because that's tabernacle. That means to visit for a while. That means to pitch a tent. The word didn't come here to stay forever. The word came here to visit. The word came here to tabernacle for a while. The word came here to be here with us, to be Emmanuel with us here on earth for a while, but also to be Emmanuel on the right hand of God. So the word was made flesh. The word needed a body. The word needed to come to earth. The word needed a body to come to earth. But the word was made flesh and dwell among us. And we beheld his glory. Let me tell you something about his glory. But we beheld his glory. You see, his glory, you know what was his divinity, his glory. See, if you have to be a child of God in order to see his glory. See, when he was walking that water and his feet was dry, you don't walk water and his feet be dry. But he was walking the water and his feet were dry. But they could beheld his glory. They could see that his glory shined all around about him because his glory was from God. He had taken off his premortal glory, but he still had this divinity within him, and every now and then they could look at him and tell him that he was Almighty God. When he fed 5,000, when he healed the blind, when he that man with the withered arm, when he told him to stretch out his arm, but not only that, the Pharisees, when he told them, I can forgive sin, they beheld his glory. But when they really saw it, when Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and he said, Lazarus, get up out that grave. Yeah. and come forth. Just Lazarus. That's all I want right now. Just Lazarus. Because, you know, I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. But he said, just Lazarus. He said, now, Lazarus, you get up. And y'all standing around the grave, take off his clothes. Because, see, you got to co-labor with God. God called him out the grave, but you got to take off his grave clothes. Because we have to work with God. Are you ready to work with God? Said, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And beheld his glory, and the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, God's grace is his unmerited favor. See, his word is going to be full of grace. See, you can't have grace without truth. You have to have both of it. See, God's grace is giving something to you that you don't deserve. And God's truth is his trustworthiness, is his righteousness. And you have to have both of them. You have to inherit this whole thing, his grace and his truth. As I close, I want you to understand this Christmas is about God sending his son. And his name is Emmanuel, peace with us. But I know you listen at Macy's and you listen at all them stores talking to you about Christmas. But I just want you to know that under the Christmas tree, they put packages under the tree. God's son was hung on the tree. Are you out there? I just want you to know. When I was a little boy and we used to come up to Santa Claus, I never liked to sit on Santa Claus anyway, but he said, naughty and nice. See, Santa Claus wanted to know, had you been naughty or had you been nice? Everything was predicated, it was conditional. Everything was predicated on whether you've been naughty or whether you've been nice. But I just want you to know, I stopped by to give you some good news. Jesus don't care what you been, where you been. He say, I don't care how far you have fallen. I don't care how far you have been. You have not fallen out of the hand reach of God. I don't care how bad you messed up, tied up, or got tangled up. God will reach in and get you. God will reach in and save you. This is unconditional love. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you been. God sent his son to give you peace, to give you grace, to give you mercy. The word became flesh so that you can have salvation. Salvation comes with protection, provision. Are you out there this morning? God is calling you this morning. If you're out there this morning, if you're out there this morning, I told you I wasn't going to keep you long. God is out there. Let us stand.